Coming up, I'll tell you what the loneliest jobs are, and then is getting a college degree the best path to take, and kids' mental health affecting parents' work results. And you know I'm going to coach you up. Let's go. All right, welcome to the Ken Coleman Show, where we give you the competitive edge to make more money and have a bigger impact in your work. Let's go. What are the loneliest jobs? We'll get to that in just a moment, but let's first talk about loneliness. It is growing. We've been talking about pandemic, but how about the epidemic of loneliness? It's a real thing. In the United States, over 40% of adults have reported feeling lonely. A survey of 1,624 full-time employees found that the loneliest professions are lawyers, engineers, and scientists. The study also found that the number of people in your inner family circle can determine your level of loneliness. So let's just hang out there for a second. 40% of U.S. adults have reported feeling lonely. That's tragic. It's absolutely tragic. And when you talk about being lonely, that impacts your work. I mean, it's impossible to sort of turn that off when you come into the office. And let's also point out that you might be feeling lonely because of your work. Those professions, I dove into this a little bit and I began to think, what would be true, what would be common for lawyers, engineers, and scientists? And I think the conclusion is pretty common sense, but these are professions that a large portion of their work or their day, their week or their month, they are working by themselves in isolation, long hours, research, coming up with case preparation, things of that nature, testing, solving a problem where you're kind of locked in. And so it's important to point out that even the greatest of introverts is still relational. And so there's a thought that I had today in preparation for the show that I want to give you. If you aren't relating, you aren't winning. If you aren't relating, you aren't winning. Relate is the root word of relationship. And so if you aren't finding yourself in active, intentional relating, meaning I am trying to relate to my coworkers, I'm trying to relate to my wife, I'm trying to relate to my kids, I'm trying to relate to my other family members. This is the idea here. If you're not doing that, here's what happens. Isolation takes over and your soul begins to suffer. Because we as human beings, first and foremost, above anything else, were created for relationship, and then we were created to contribute. So the big problem with this loneliness epidemic, 40%, over 40% of adults in the United States reported feeling lonely. The big problem here is we aren't feeling as though we belong to something, a tribe, a cause. See, it's interesting that we can somehow as humans feel some relationship to like-minded people, whether it be religion or politics or music or sports. These are areas where we as humans tend to gather in groups of affinity, right? So we have something in common. I'm a Titans fan. I like golf. I'm a University of Michigan football fan. Nathan is a Vikings fan, poor guy. And so you think of Nathan, he would feel very despondent just by being a Vikings fan if it weren't for other suffering Viking fans. And so they can hang out together and commiserate and be miserable that they have a terrible quarterback. You didn't see that one coming, did you, pal? I thought of that one last minute. So the problem is we don't feel a sense of belonging. We humans want to belong to something that is greater than ourselves. I belong to this affinity group, or I belong to this tribe. This is at our human essence. You can't escape it. So this is the problem. And so what happens is when we are lonely and we don't feel we belong to something, watch the nasty, scary slope here. If I don't feel like I belong anywhere, I don't feel I belong. Depression. Loneliness leads to a dark, dark place. I don't belong on this planet. I don't belong in this life. This is the scary, slippery slope. So I want to give you some practical solutions on this. I mean, there's a million solutions here on loneliness to combat loneliness, but I want to come at this from a very simple, practical way to hopefully give you a bit of a spark if you find yourself feeling lonely. You don't need to be hopeless, but you do need to be intentional. And I want to give you a couple ways to do this. We have to actively connect with others. This is if I'm feeling lonely, I don't want to sit around in my loneliness and talk about why I'm lonely to myself. Goodness gracious. I don't want to sit there and think or talk to myself and think, oh, I'm lonely because of this and this, this, and I become a victim. And then before I know it, I'm even lonelier. What I have to do is get out of that cave, if you will, and connect. Here's how you do that personally and professionally. Number one, inside the office, if you're dealing with loneliness in the office or in your personal life, you are working. And so you are hopefully around some people or some potential customer. What do? When I'm around those people, I want to be interested in them. This is really simple, folks. This is just you asking questions of your coworkers, your customers. Hey, where are you from? Oh, yeah, okay, great. How long you been here? You got kids or whatever. It doesn't matter. This is just be interested in them. And here's what's really fun about being interested in other people. As I begin to ask questions about other people and I'm interested in their life and their situation, they will inevitably, unless they're a narcissist, and you'll run into a few of those, they will inevitably start to ask me questions. But when I am interested in others, watch what happens. I become interesting because they start getting interested in me and they're asking questions about me. But I led with interest in others. So around your coworkers, be proactive in getting to know the people around you and following back up to that initial interest. Number two, outside of work, engage in activities that lift your soul. If it's golf, if it's music, if it's whatever, volunteering with your hands and building stuff for other people because you love building, get involved in something that you enjoy, that interests you. Because in doing so, you are finding opportunities to connect with others. If you're serving someone, you aren't lonely. I can tell you that. There's no greater reward emotionally in all the world than serving somebody else who needs it, and you can provide value. You're not lonely when you're serving someone else. Hey, get around some other people who like doing things you like to do. If it's, I'm going to the car show every Saturday morning. I'm going to hang out with other gearheads. I'm not lonely when I'm talking about engines with other gearheads. Why is this the reason? Why do we need to do this? The reason for this solution is because we were made to relate. And when you aren't in healthy relationships, your soul is dying. But when you are in relationships, it's the battery for your soul. This is the Ken Coleman Show. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, where we help you get the competitive edge to win in work and in life. Now, some of you are going, oh, I don't know about all this competition. Trust me, you're competing. You're competing against the you of yesterday, and you're competing against somebody to actually win. So I'm going to help you do that. All right, let's get to a couple of stories here. But before we do that, I want to tell you about our sales crash course. I'm teaming up with Ramsey Career Academy. Every Thursday night in May, we're hosting a free crash course to help you boost your career skills. And this month, we're focusing on sales. On Thursday, May 5th, we're hosting a sales crash course. If you're in sales or you're interested in getting into sales, you need to be a part of this. It's free. I'll be teaching along with our Senior Vice President of Sales, Chris Campbell. Guy's an absolute rock star. And you're going to leave with practical tips to jumpstart your career in sales. To sign up, go to RamseySolutions.com/crash courses. That's RamseySolutions.com/crash courses. All right, couple stories to get to. I'm always keeping you informed. Let's do it. It's time for In the News. First headline comes to us from verywellmind.com. Kids' mental health struggles are affecting parents at work. No surprise there. Key takeaways that we're going to unpack a bit here are, number one, the mental health of our country's youth has now been called a national crisis. A new survey found that many working parents have missed work in order to deal with their children's mental health. And then a multifaceted approach by companies and parents. Notice there's two factors here, two players, if you will, in this, is needed to tackle the problem. So On Our Sleeves is a national movement that aims to break stigmas around children's mental health. They surveyed more than 3,000 working parents across the U.S. and found that 6 in 10 parents were very concerned about their child's emotional health and development or behavior in the past 2 years. Now, I'm going to pause this for a second, and I'm not going to get on a pulpit here and preach. But I am going to point out that we opened today's show talking about loneliness and the epidemic of loneliness among adults. And now we're wringing our hands over what is called a mental health crisis among kids. And our leaders across the board, political parties, both of them, sent kids and parents into isolation. And I'm not bringing this up to make a political statement. I'm saying on the other side of this pandemic, it's time for leaders to stand up and realize they were wrong. They didn't have a public health answer, but they doubled down on isolation and were shocked that kids and adults are lonely, that there are mental health and behavior issues over sending kids home from school for over a year and they had little to no interaction. Come on. We're worried about being criticized. So we're going to sacrifice our kids' mental health and behavior so that your blue check mark libs. Oh boy, there I went and did it. And people that are so afraid they won't come out of their house. You don't want to get criticized, leaders. So you're going to sacrifice our greatest resource. That is our children. Shame on you. The results are in. I'm holding them right here. It's not my opinion. You can disagree with data all you want to. Take your snowflakery somewhere else. I'm going to talk about the truth based on real data, not my opinion. On Our Sleeves found that 6 in 10 respondents were very concerned about their child's emotional health. 71% of parents said that issues with their child's mental health or emotional well-being made the stresses of work much more difficult to cope with. You better believe it. You better believe it. How in the world is a mama or a daddy supposed to do their best at work when their heart is being ripped out of their chest? I'm telling you, these freaking politicians are so worried about their own survival and self-preservation that they don't dive into this kind of stuff. You idiots. Look what you've done. You mandated isolation under the banner of public health, and you've created a greater public health crisis. You know what? I don't care if that offends some of you, because I challenge you to rewind what I just said. This is a scourge, because this doesn't just affect our poor kids and their mental emotional health. This is affecting the parents. Oh, by the way, and your companies and your ability to grow and do well. So what can employers do? I'm going to speak to leaders for a moment. Obviously, you've got to give flexibility. I will rave on Dave Ramsey and our leadership here that we very much have that policy here. We have flexibility. Dave says, take care of family first. If your family life is in a full alarm fire. You're on fire here in a bad way. Go take care of business. That's leadership. That's the flexibility that people need to feel like they're not going to get reprimanded for taking care of a problem in their home life. That's one thing. Another thing, a lot of people aren't aware of such benefits as employee assistance burden. So you as leaders need to let them know other benefits beyond flexibility, how you will want to meet with them to say, hey, can we help maybe shoulder some of the costs that you'll deal with? Again, Ramsey Solutions does that case-by-case basis here, but they do it, and it's amazing. So there you go. Next, a college degree is no longer always the best pathway to the middle class, says Fortune.com. I'm not even going to get into the article yet. I'm mad about the headline. Can we just unpack the thinking here? My dad used to call this stinking thinking. I want to read this headline to you, and I want you to see, tell me what's wrong with the headline. What bothers you about the headline? A college degree is no longer always the best pathway to the middle class. Now, wait a second. Is the middle class where we all want to end up? Oh, gee whiz, man, I just want to make it to the middle class. What, who says that? I'm not knocking anybody in the middle class, but as a guy who grew up in lower middle class as a pastor's kid, can I just tell you, never one time did my dad before our meal go, dear God, please bless our meal today, and we thank you for allowing us to be just inside the middle class. Never did he pray that. Why? Because nobody aims for average. How many of you have ever said to your wife or your husband, hey, babe, thinking about vacation this year, what do you say we get an average vacation? Or how many of you go, hey, it's date night this week, sweetheart? Happy to tell you, I booked a restaurant. It gets 2.5 out of 5 stars. Who says that? Come on. What are we doing? It's ridiculous. So here we go. Tuition costs have increased by more than 500% since the 1980s. We know that. Student loan debt is taking at least a decade or two to pay off for many people. And now businesses are hiring and wages are rising. So the cost to take off time to work to earn a higher degree is higher too. Oh, then there's research indicating that shorter-term non-degree credentials often lead to an increase in earnings of $2,000 to $6,500 per year, while costing a fraction of what college tuition does. Okay, let me give you an example. Bethel Tech. I endorse Bethel Tech. The reason I endorse Bethel Tech is they are a boot camp, a 9-month online boot camp for people who want to get into technology and move up. Bethel Tech costs less than $15,000 if you're one of my listeners and you pay cash. Are you ready for this? I'm getting updates all the time from their CEO, Ryan Collins, who's been a guest on the show. You ready for this? We got people that are stepping from jobs in the $40,000 and $50,000 to making $75,000 or higher, some making over $100,000. And they're on a path to making even more. College degree is no longer the best pathway to the middle class. First of all, nobody wants to get to the middle class, and it's not any longer the best pathway to success. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. Hey, folks, seeing some articles, seeing some data. The Great Resignation, it's not slowing down. People still moving. We are in a super hot job market. And some of you are going, it's time. It's time for me to leave. It's time for me to move on. Yesterday, I did a social media post on Instagram. I don't know how many of you are following me on Instagram, but if you're not, I would invite you over there. We put out an Instagram reel yesterday, quick 30-second video, where I reveal the 3 red flags that will tell you you're in a dead-end job. And I'll just give you the extra content really quick. 1, if there's no meaning and purpose that you're sensing and feeling very consistently, you're in a dead-end job. Number two, if you aren't being recognized for your unique contribution, you're in a dead-end job. And number three, if you don't have a coach-type relationship with your leader, you're in a dead-end job. So anyway, lots of responses. And here's what I thought. I thought of ZipRecruiter when I read the responses, because they were like, that's me. That's my job. Oh, my gosh. It's like every job I apply for, blah, 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 right? So people are still thinking, I want to move on. But a lot of you are scared to move on because you know how painfully frustrating the job search can be, because you get ghosted. You fill out all these resumes all the time. I'm spending all this time. I feel like I'm getting very little return. And so I just go, I'd rather be miserable than frustrated, right? I'll stay where I am instead of deal with the rejection and all the extra time. ZipRecruiter comes in and helps. They know how lonely it feels. And their artificial intelligence software does much of the work for you. With one profile, you're set to go, and they begin pitching you, recruiting on your behalf while you're doing life over here. Second, when they get companies looking at you, companies reach directly out to you and you can hit, yes, I'm applying. One click, your resume goes in. This is beautiful. This is easy. It's smart. Best way to get hired. Sign up for free today, ZipRecruiter.com. ZipRecruiter.com. Sign up for free. Tell them Ken Coleman sent you. All right, back to the phones we go. Columbus, Ohio, the home of my hated rival, the Buckeyes. Peter joins us there. Peter, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Mr. Coleman. How are you doing?
I'm living the dream, Peter. What's up?
So I'm 21, and I'm going to graduate at the end of December, but I feel like I have like a useless degree right now.
What is the degree?
It's a bachelor's in pharmaceutical sciences. My plan was to go to pharmacy school, and I got accepted for the next semester, but I chose not to do it because I don't think I want to be a pharmacist.
What made you think, what makes you feel that you don't want to be a pharmacist?
Well, I worked as a pharmacy tech for about a year, and I didn't like it at all.
Okay, this is beautiful, folks. Yeah. Peter, that's the answer that I'm always looking for when I ask people that question. Give me some facts, baby. And you just did. You worked as a tech for a year and you saw the ins and the outs and you went, nope, ain't for me. So, okay, that's really freeing. So what you got to do is you got to keep that at the top of your mind, because I think you're beating yourself up a little bit because you went, well, crap, wish I'd have figured this out before I put
that's
4 years into
it.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. But can I tell you that I wouldn't, and you know, I think you probably know my position on college degrees. Like, I get criticized all the time. People think I'm anti-degrees and anti-education. I'm not. I'm anti-going and getting a degree without knowing if it actually is the only way to get qualified or the best way to get qualified, right? That's my standard.
Yeah.
So, yes, I wish you would have shadowed with a pharmacist when you were in high school or maybe as a freshman or sophomore before you declared. You could have. And that's what I call clarify, verify. But for a year, you clarified and verified. So the good news is you're not going to waste any of your life going and doing something that will make you miserable inside of 6 months. That's the good news. The bad news is you put some time and money into a very specific degree. But I don't think it's useless, is my point. Because a lot of people in this world still think, oh, Peter has a college degree. He's smarter than everybody else. You know, I'm trying to beat that perception to death. But the fact is, you got yourself a nice degree from a good school, right? What school did you go to?
Ohio State.
Oh, geez, I hate that school. But it's all football related. Dude, I'm a Michigan fan. The helmet's right behind me on the shelf. So I got to stipulate, it's a great academic institution, I'm sure. I just hate the football. You understand. Nothing personal. All right. So what is it that you want to do?
I think that's the big problem with like why I feel so lost, because I don't know.
Do you have an idea or two
about it all?
I think you have an idea or two.
I mean, I've looked into different stuff, but I don't know what I'd be good at.
That's not true. That is not true. You know what you're talented at. Tell me three things that, so let right now, let's just have a fun exercise. You ready? And I need you to stop thinking. Okay. I need you to just react because I'm going to lead you. So all you got to do is answer top of mind. Can you do that today?
Yeah.
Yes, you can. Top of mind answers, no matter what you feel, I want you to answer. Here we go. Hey, Peter, I'm going to get you a job today. Okay? I don't know what it is, but I'm going to get you a really good job. It's temporary, but we're going to get you good money. And all I need to know from you is the top three things you do well so that I can brag on you. What am I telling them about Peter? Hey, Peter's really good at this. He's really good at this. And he's really good at this. What? Tell me, Peter. Give me something real quick because I got somebody on the line that's going to hire you. What am I telling him? Go, Peter.
Well, I'm really hardworking, determined. I'm a people person. Mm-hmm. I love talking to others. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, I asked you what you're good at. I know you got hard work. I know you have strong character, which means work ethic. I know that you love talking to people. Tell me what you're good at. This is, Ken, I'm really good at this because my guess is you're good at talking to people. True or false?
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, come on. Give me two other things real quick, Peter. These people are on hold. What are you really good at? Yeah, tell me.
I don't know.
Yes, you do. That's a total lie. That's total garbage. You have a confidence problem. You don't have a skill problem. What are you really good at, Peter? Two more things. Go.
I'm good at logical problems, problem solving. I like doing those kinds of stuff, at least.
Good, 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 good. You told me that you're good at people and you're good at logical problems, which makes me wonder if you're really good at using that logic to solve people problems. Peter, talk.
Yeah.
Come on, Peter. There we go. We're starting to see the lack of confidence shatter. Peter, what kind of people problems would you most love to solve with that logic of yours? Give me an answer. You already thought of one.
Honestly, anything. Mostly like realistic problems, like stuff people face with on a day-to-day kind of stuff.
There we go. Now we're getting somewhere. All right, so I'm not going to put you under pressure anymore live on the air, but I've got three questions.
That.
Yeah, no, you're doing great, man. Listen, because here's the deal. I want you to tell the audience if this is true or false, and I don't mind if it's false, because I think this is true. When I was pushing you with those direct questions, your brain was presenting thoughts, and some of those you didn't share on the air. Is that true or false?
That's true.
Peter.
I think
it's okay.
That's the problem. It's
like, I know, but I told you not to think. I told you to react, but I'm okay. I just wanted to know if I was right. So I want you to go back to the answers you thought of when I put you to the test of a direct question. Your homework assignment is go back and deal with those answers. But there's three other questions I want you to answer along with what you didn't tell me or the audience. You ready? You got something to write with?
Yeah, I got my laptop. Yeah.
Here we go. Who are the people that I really want to help? I want you to answer that specifically. I don't care if it takes 4 days, 4 tries, 4 weeks. I don't care. What problem or desire do those people have? And then third, what's the solution or solutions that you get excited about bringing to that problem or to that desire? Do those questions make sense to you?
Yeah.
My friend, when you're alone, you better shut your brain off and stop thinking and let the fingers type and let the pencil write. Because the answers to those three questions are the clues to what type of work you want to do. I appreciate the call. You got this. Hang on the line. We'll get you the Get Clear assessment. Press on.
Thanks for listening to the Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following @KenColeman.
If you enjoy this podcast, you should check out other great podcasts from the Ramsey Network, like Borrowed Future. Not so fun fact, America has a $1.6 trillion student loan crisis, and it's out of control. I'm George Camel, host of the Borrowed Future podcast, where we uncover the underbelly of the student loan industry and show you what you can do about it. It'll inspire you to see that it is possible to avoid student loans and graduate college debt-free. Listen to Borrowed Future wherever you listen to podcasts.